Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long.
The word of the Lord through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. So far the word. Word which we associate with Ash Wednesday is not uncommon, and the concept is not difficult to grasp. But the doing of it is difficult, so difficult that it cannot be done in its spiritual sense apart from the grace of God. We speak of repentance, the expression of sincere sorrow over sin and the admission of spiritual helplessness. St. John the Baptizer proclaimed in the Judean wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus began his public ministry with these words, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." On the day of Pentecost, St. Peter announced to those gathered in Jerusalem from all over the ancient world, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. To the proud men of the city of Athens, St. Paul announced, God commands all men everywhere to repent. And in the very last book of the Bible, our Lord speaks through the mouth of St. John, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. The call to repentance reverberates through the Scriptures. It is the call to admit that we have no power and no ability to do anything about that spiritual condition in which we were conceived and born, that condition which is defined by the word sin, and which leads ultimately to death in all its dimensions, spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. Our relationship with God is broken, and there is nothing that can be done from our side to fix it. St. Paul preached, God commands all men everywhere to repent, that is, to admit and acknowledge that this is so. What a sweeping statement. God commands repentance. It doesn't say that he suggests it, or highly recommends it, or counsels it, or wants us to think about it a little bit. No, God commands repentance. And the command is issued not just to some people, some especially bad people, other people, but to all men, to every member of the human race, no exception. And the command goes everywhere, not just to certain places remote from us or to certain times in human history far removed from our own. To all times and all places, the divine message is the same. Repent. The prophet Isaiah expresses the appropriate response to this universal call to repentance. Yes, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the simile involving sheep does not soften the message in any way. Rather, it illustrates and accentuates stubbornness, lack of understanding, lack of strength and ability, a condition of pathetic helplessness. In other words, it underscores the magnitude of the problem of our condition. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But here we confront a difficulty. God commands repentance, the admission that this assessment of our condition is so, as the word defines it. But our flesh wants to scream out, no, it's not so. I'm different. This does not apply to me. I don't accept this characterization that I am a wandering, stubborn, stupid, and helpless sheep. I have intelligence and strength and ability and cleverness and determination to fend for myself in all things, and I will do so. And so we become our own worst enemy. The divine word provides us with the diagnosis of our situation, and our flesh does not want to accept it. The spiritual delusions of fallen humanity are variations on a few very basic themes. It's either something like, my willpower is sufficient to make the right decisions, to choose what is good and shun what is evil. Therefore, this call for abject repentance and admission of spiritual failure does not apply to me. Or, my intelligence is sufficient to figure things out. I can get it in the spiritual realm, just as I can get it in many other areas. Therefore, this call for repentance and admission of guilt doesn't apply to me. Or I can turn to my inner light, that spark of the divine within me, and find my peace with God there. Therefore, this call to repentance and admission of spiritual failure doesn't apply to me. The biblical response to these pretensions that we have no need for repentance is found in the word of the Lord spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The word of God breaks and smashes the hard bedrock of our arrogant pretensions, all of our self-righteous posturing, all of our Pharisaical pompousness, and exposes and lays bare the pathetic reality which we try so desperately to hide and mask. This is the chief function of the law of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. God commands all men everywhere to repent, to save from the heart all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. A few moments ago, we sang together the verses of one of the great penitential psalms. In this psalm, David reviews what he went through in his time of refusing to acknowledge his guilt before God, refusing to repent. He had deluded himself into thinking that he had no need of repentance. He said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. But thanks be to God, he did not remain in that hardened and hopeless state. God broke through his wall of impenitence and caused him to say from the heart, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The prophet Isaiah shows us with clarity how the forgiveness of God was acquired for us in this great truth: the Lord has laid our iniquity upon another. The one whom God himself raised up to take our place under the wrath of God, that one was the Son of God in human flesh, the Lamb of God, who went to the slaughter meekly and willingly, with the result that there is forgiveness for us. God commands all of us here at this time and in this place to repent. And by his gospel, he brings to us all the benefits that the Son of God has won for us by his life and death and resurrection. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. And blessed are you in that holy absolution. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, teach me to know my sin and to repent, and raise me up by your holy gospel. Amen.